يُنذِر بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه ترجع الأمور وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا صدق الله العظيم. In a beautiful ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have ennobled the descendants of Adam, and we have carried them upon land and upon sea, and we have granted them as provision good things, and we have preferred them over much of what we have created. This indicates the great mystery and the great challenge and the great paradox of humanity. We feel ourselves to be suspended between heaven and earth, as nothing else can be suspended. We feel that we have angelic tendencies and a desire to be with our Lord. We also feel that we have demonic tendencies and a craving for what is dark and what is immediate. Sometimes we feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is embracing us with His uninterrupted favor. Sometimes we feel that there is nothing in the heavens or the earth that is more distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from His generosity and from His proximity than ourselves. We go through stages. Our life is in tumult. We go through tunnels and we don't know when we shall see the end of each tunnel. But nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us as the descendants of Adam not to be the creatures that live longer than any other creature. There are trees that live 10 times as long as we will. And not to be the largest of the creatures on this earth. There are many creatures in the sea and on the land that are larger than ourselves. Not to be the most powerful in fighting. There are many predatory beasts that are far more formidable than even the strongest wrestler or boxer. But instead He has chosen us for something which He has elected to call nobility. This principle of لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have made the descendants of Adam noble. We know that one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Karim, the generous, the noble, and it has so many other meanings as well. It can't really be rendered in an adequate way into the English language. He is Al-Karim, and the Muslims know with their hearts exactly what that means. Sometimes, in favoured moments of their lives, they may actually have experienced His extraordinary karam mediated to them directly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the descendants of Adam, insofar as we are descendants of Adam, are noble. And we have been ennobled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused us to do things that nothing else in the heavens and the earth has been caused to do. He has caused us to be carried on land and on sea. A flea might ride on the back of a lion and is carried, but it is not in the noble situation of the knight in armor on the back of a beautiful horse. There might be certain sea creatures that are encrusted upon the backs of whales and sharks. They also are carried upon the sea, but there is in them nothing of the nobility of the human being who is the captain of a ship, or who rows down a river. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favoured us for these functions, and this is to do with the tasghir, that He has made that which is in the heavens and the earth subject to us, lawfully, not to be abused. When we abuse that, and when we start to use those things that have been created for our benefit and for our admiration and for our inspiration as simple objects of economic greed, then the karam starts to disappear. Then we are no longer koramat. We are no longer noble. We are no longer generous. We are khisis. We are base. We are ignoble. We can even be asfala safilin, the lowest of the low. And that, in a word, is the paradox of what it is to be Bani Adam. Our forefather Adam, alayhi salam, fell, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his karam, raised him up again and taught him the names. That is why the descendants of Adam can be mukramun, carried on the land and the sea. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, and we have provided them with good things. Part of the honour and the nobility which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conveyed on us, His creatures, is the extraordinary variety and the goodness of the rizq which He gives to us. We are not like sea creatures at the bottom of the ocean, feeding on filth. We are not like pigs in the woods or in a farm, feeding on filth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that our food shall be of the tayyibat, of the good things, the nobler things, of the higher orders of creation, the higher animals, and an extraordinary variety. No other animal on the earth or in the sea eats such a wide variety of things, or drinks such a wide variety of things as we do, forgetfully usually as Bani Adam. This is part of this tafdil, this extraordinary preference which He has shown us. And وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا, and we have preferred Him, we have raised Him up, we have made Him better than so many of the things that we have created. Not everything under all circumstances. Why? Because we are not all truly inwardly, as well as simply physically, the descendants of Adam. We do not all immediately replicate the haste with which Adam, alayhi salam, repented to his Lord. Sometimes we might defer repentance. Sometimes we might not even think about it. Sometimes we might not even know that what we're doing is something base and ignoble and wrong. When we are in that situation, then we are not really Adamic. We are not really descendants inwardly of the one who has been taught all of the names. Instead, we can be something lower than the baser animals of creation. So it's not the case that every human being is higher than everything else in creation under all circumstances. And we all know in our own lives how low we can go or can be minded to go. The darker thoughts that inhabit the subconscious, the bad tendencies that constantly beset us, the desire to do certain things that are wrong, to say things that are hurtful, to look at things that are not halal for us. All of these tendencies are with us all the time. And when we give way to them, we are no longer kuramat. We're no longer noble people. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes the Muslims to be a noble people. So, one of the descriptions of the believers, of the mu'minun, is وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, when they pass some kind of idle, futile entertainment, loose talk, they walk past with dignity, as people of karam. Every one of them is karim, noble. And that's the difference. The enormous difference between the one who ignores some futile pursuit because of arrogance and the one who ignores it because he is submitting to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who does it out of arrogance does it because he thinks is better. And that's not walking by that thing in a state of karam. That's a low situation for the heart to be in. But the one who goes by something that is haram and does not go into the college bar, the one who does not engage himself in loose talk casually with the opposite sex when there's no need for it, the one who does not watch films that perhaps he should not be watching, the one who just walks by, not in a state of angst, nor in a state of arrogance, but in a state of humble submission and love for the commandment of his Lord, whose only wish is to keep him out of trouble and to keep him in the state of nobility. He is of the Kiram. He is of the noble. And in that state he can even approximate to the angels and even become higher than the angels. Those who are Kiram and Katibin, the noble inscribers. Kiram is one of the qualities of the angels. We too can have that nobility. But it only takes place how? When we can overcome those lower tendencies. When we can say no to the animals within, to the donkey within, to the monkey within, to the pig within. Say no, 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 I'm not going to be controlled by the menagerie. I'm going to be in charge of everything, and then I become Kareem, inshallah, not through my achievements, but through the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who with his laws has shown me how to be, and who has promised me a garden in which there will be only karam and nobility. I wish to rise above that and not become an example of some kind of walking menagerie, a zoo, from whom no other human being is really safe. That's the difference. That's sometimes a difficult thing to do. One of the temptations of the believer is to feel pleased with himself that he has avoided a sinful situation. One of the tendencies of the believer is to think that he's going to deserve paradise, which is a very dangerous thing. Because paradise is infinite. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. It goes on forever. And endlessly broad. عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The garden is as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That apparently infinite reward comes for these few small things that we do, the little effort that we insincerely sometimes make. How can we say that we have deserved salvation? How can we say that through the finite things that we have done, we merit the infinite thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the real Kareem, has in store for us, inshallah? We can't. And that's why, what does the believer say? يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. On the last day, when he enters paradise, and he sees what na'im, what blessings have been prepared for him, the absolute source of everything beautiful and fragrant and pure and selfless and divine that he detected in this world in an imperfect way, when he sees the source of those things, what does he say? If only my people knew. بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي. How my Lord has forgiven me and has made me amongst المكرمون, the ennobled. Three things are going on there. The true believer, what does he say? He doesn't think, I've made it. I've passed the test. I am the Iron Man of 2008. I've won the gold medal in the Olympics. I can shout and scream like Ronaldo when he scored a goal. Look at me. The ego rampant and uncontrolled. That's not the condition of the believer as he enters the gates of the garden. He doesn't shout and run about and do a somersault like Ronaldo. No. Why? Because, first of all, look at what he says. If only my people knew. So he's not thinking about himself. It's selflessness and concern for others that really is the qualification for going through those gates. He's not thinking about himself, first of all. If only my people knew. If only all of the other Afghanis knew, or the other British people knew, or the other Arabs knew exactly what this is. And how did he get there? بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي. My Lord forgave me. Not, I did 2,486,000 good deeds, and those that were not wajib were mustahab, and I've calculated it up, and I've decided that really this is the natural place for me. He doesn't think like that. He thinks in terms of his Lord's forgiveness. Because of the bad stuff that he did, again and again, with full intention, and the few good things that he might have done, and even if he did many good things, how can they merit this endless reward of the Akhirah, this final abode of Karama, Darul Karama, the abode of honor. وَأَنِبْ إِلَى دَارِ الْكَرَامَةِ وَالْبَقَاءِ وَعَنِ الدَّنِيَّةِ كُنْ أَخِي مُتَجَافِي. Turn yourself to the abode of nobility, of Karama, and eternity. And from this low, base thing, O my brother, turn your back, turn your shoulder to it. Why should you prefer that which is little over that which has no end? وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. And he has made me amongst the noble and the honored. What honoring is there greater than the honoring of being in the presence of the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds? There is no greater honor than being near the king. That is what it is to be honored. in all traditional societies, honour flowed from where? From the throne and from the monarch. And nobility was bestowed through titles and various other forms of honouring to barons, aristocrats, knights who'd excelled themselves in battle, people who'd been exceptionally charitable. This is what the honours system traditionally was. Nowadays, you get an MBE if you happen to have donated £1 million to the Labour Party. That's not how things used to work, at least in theory. It was about honouring people, and when they spoke about nobility, they meant that people were noble. We would say coronet, because of their proximity to the king. And so it is in the real world of religion. We are noble to the extent that we are close in our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the fountainhead of all honour and all generosity and all nobility. Which is why he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noble of you, one of you who is most kareem, in Allah's sight, never mind the sight of the tabloid press, in Allah's sight, are the ones who fear him most. In other words, those who ascribe to him his true majesty, his jalal. Therefore they are afraid. And therefore, because taqwa is not just a state of the heart, but it is consequences for everything else in our lives, those who act as though that fear was real. And for the believers, it sure is real. That's what it is to be noble. The alternative to this darul karama wal baqa is the place where there is finally no honour at all. Where there is zillin min yahmum, la baridin wala karim. Surah Al-Waqi'ah. What is the place of the uproar, the place that we choose when we choose uproar in ourselves, that eternity which we make for ourselves, dark cloud, in which there is poison, in which there is no coolness, and where it is not kareem, it is not gentle, it is not noble, it is not honourable. Sometimes a cloud can at least it can keep out the light, often does in Cambridge, especially at this time of year, and it can seem kind of claustrophobic, but at least you're never overheated when there's a cloud between you and the sun. But in the final place, the abode of perdition, there is not even that residual blessing. It's just heat, claustrophobia, and an absolute absence of karam or nobility. Now, this therefore means that the human being has an innate nobility which comes from our Adamic origins, and we have an acquired capacity to say no to that and to open the doors to the inferno. And we have a Lord who is constantly summoning us to the abode of karama, but we are always human beings who have dignity, whatever, come what may. There is always a dignity that the Sharia will attribute to everyone. We know the hadith of the janazah, the funeral of the Jew in Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rose to his feet. And they told him, Ya Rasulullah, this is a Jewish janazah. And he says, Awalaysat nafsan. Is it not a soul? Everybody has that inalienable dignity. Imam al-Saraqsi says this very clearly in the Mabsut. He has a long and very beautiful exposition of how nobility is inherent in human beings. Nowadays we tend to talk in enlightenment terms of the inborn dignity of man. But of course they can't really prove that. What scientists can prove that human beings have an inborn dignity. It's just a kind of secularized poetic version of a language that once actually meant something because it was rooted in concepts of nobility that came from the one who was mukrim, who was bestowing karam, generosity, nobility upon his creation. Dignity comes about to the extent that we are conformed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his perfections and in his commandments. Finally, let's think about this issue that is currently in the news. The 13-year-old girl, Hannah Jones, who has been told by her hospital that she, who is apparently terminally sick and had leukemia and had, as a result of the medication, a hole in her heart. At the age of 13, she has to have a heart transplant. And she said, I can't stand any more of this. And I know that the heart transplant could itself be fatal. And I know that a new heart could mean that my immune system is going to go backwards and that I might get the leukemia again. And there's too many ifs too many risks and too much suffering, so I'm going to say no to the operation. And Hereford Hospital applied for an order from the county court to compel her to be taken forcibly away from her home, away from her parents, in order to have this operation. But she stuck to her guns, brave girl, and she insisted, no, I don't think this is the way in which I want to go. This raises some very interesting issues. We've said, in apparently simple, absolute stark terms, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We've ennobled the descendants of Adam. And we know that our lives are sacred. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And do not slay the soul which Allah has made sacrosanct, except in accordance with justice. We know also in the hadith that the Holy Prophet ﷺ spoke of a man in the time of the ancient Israelite prophets who was mubtala, who was afflicted with a disease. And his sabr eventually wore out, and he took a knife to his wrist and he ended his life. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he took his own life, Allah made the Jannah haram for him. The sanctity of life is part of our idea of human dignity, and it is not for us, unless there is a situation of jihad, unless there is a situation of capital punishment, it is not for us to interfere with that mysterious business of human beings, their souls entering the world, and the other mystery of human beings mysteriously leaving the world and going on. That's Allah's business and that's not ours. But things are always complex. Because nowadays medical science and technology, and many of you are medical students and you will have dealt with some of the medical issues that this raises, are dealing with issues such as assisted suicide. And we would say, and all of the fatwas say, that's haram. They're dealing with issues such as euthanasia, and we are saying, and the fatwas are all saying, that's haram. Sometimes things are more complex than that. What should this 13-year-old girl do? She's offered two bad choices. Either she has a heart transplant with possible fatal complications, or she continues with a hole in the heart which sooner or later is going to kill her. That's the only option that now remains for her in this dunya. And she's made one decision. This is where the outer limits of what can be put in the books of fiqh come to an end, and hikmah takes over and begins. This is where the qadi really comes into his own. He does not just dip into a book of fiqh and he finds a simple rule that will necessarily cover her situation. He is somebody who will look into the situation with mercy and compassion, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also merciful and compassionate. And that is at the essence of what it is to be human beings who are noble. We have the sharia, we have our laws, and they keep us out of so much trouble. But they are in no sense an alternative to the human conscience and the human capacity to intuit what is right, what is wrong. They help us to do that. They never obstruct it or take it away from us. There are always many issues in this world where the individual conscience still reigns and must reign. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide the ulama of this ummah, to guide the imams of this ummah to the correct fatwas in all of these new issues that are coming up, and that at all times we should be the ummah that maintains this principle of the dignity of human beings and of the sanctity of life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولي المتقين نكال الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأكبر والله يعلم ما تعملون. وأقم